What does it mean to be an equestrian? It's more than just being a fan of horses. It's the riders, coaches, owners, barn staff, grooms, and other support staff. But it's also the people, family, and friends who make up the whole equestrian team. And this podcast is for all of you. I am so excited to be here with you as we explore life in and outside of the show ring. I'm Tracy Mitchell, and I'm here to help you hit your stride. Joining me today on Hitting Your Stride is Dr. Kendra Clark. She is a doctor of chiropractic who tends to both the human and the equine. Kendra left her hometown of Guelph after graduating from the University of Guelph and headed to Texas to attend Parker University College, where she graduated with a doctorate in human and animal chiropractic in 2011. After a decade of working in the US, Dr. Kendra returned home to Guelph to set up her own practice called The Chiropractor with Dr. Kendra. Welcome to the show, Kendra.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Yeah, so you and I, this is the first time we've ever met. So this is a fun get to know you for everybody involved. Sure. Yeah. So in the pre-interview information that I have for you, I have you quoted as saying, if the rider is crooked, so is the horse and vice versa. And I just think this quote is awesome because given what I do with the massage, you see plenty of that. So can you explain how that thought has inspired you?
So I'll tell you what inspired that thought, and then it's a little easier. I was at Pony Cup Championship in Kentucky, I think in 2016, and I'd been practicing and treating a lot of thoroughbred racehorses, and there was a rider going down the center line, and I know all coaches do this, and anyone riding horses does this with their head. And I had to do that just to make her straight. And then that poor horse did everything it needed to do to get down the center line. And it was sent, they were both straight, but they were both very crooked. So that's what spurred that thought.
Yeah, so for the podcast listeners who aren't seeing the YouTube, you know, Dr. Kendra had her head on an angle, and you're so correct. Every coach that you watch ride their riders go, I don't know what it is, but everybody holds their head on a tilt.
That's how you see better.
Yeah, apparently. So could you visually see this horse trying to get underneath the rider?
Absolutely. You can see the rib cage tilt. And oftentimes if the pelvis is tilted on the horse, so one side's lower than the other or more forward than the other, or they like to stay in a left lead or right lead canter, you'll see the rider sit to the opposite side. So they're trying to balance each other out. And who knows, the chicken or the egg, who came first?
Exactly.
Don't know.
Now, when you approach your clients with this the whole concept and your findings and your assessment and your treatment, are any of the riders surprised that they're a part of the equation?
They're not. I think there's always that realization twofold, right? Like, so you don't want to be the source of the problem, but people will say when you're asking for advice, you already know the answer. Hmm. And so when I say, hey, listen, it's very likely that you're crooked, and they're like, oh, I know. And it sometimes we just don't know what to do about it. I mean, I know that my pony right now is having a hard time collecting, and I want to help her in every way I can. I just don't know how, and I need help. And you know, Maya is there to help.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, do you ride with Maya Markowski? Yes. Okay. So yes, Maya was a former podcast guest. So that's awesome. So the other thing too, like, and I'm sure, you know, I'm a registered equine massage therapist and in my other aspect of my world. And so, yeah, I've been practicing for 23 years and it is awesome when I feel what I feel and then share my findings. And I've actually had some people that are a little surprised. You know, I massage three of their horses and I find three very similar horses. And they're like, you mean I'm the problem? And I'm like, well, you're a
yeah, and we'll for sure. And we'll pick horses that we fit better with. And like if the quadratus lumborum is short on the right hand side, then typically we'll like to ride a horse that is crooked in the opposite way. So we feel comfortable. And vice versa. I mean, if you ride a right hand, I like riding right handed horses. Mm. And a left handed horse feels weird to me. And it's because my pelvis is torqued in that way. So it's easier to ride.
Wow. You know what? I have never heard it or thought of it put that way for people who are picking horses. That's amazing. Yeah. You find a horse that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't like that one.
Why? Yeah, exactly. So in your information and stuff too, this is really fascinating me and I can hardly wait to hear about it. So when you were down in Texas, you were working with Dr. Jerome Rarushka?
Rarushka.
Okay. And you guys developed what's called Fit for Equestrians. Can you, you know, describe that and explain that to us?
Yeah, so Dr. Jerome and I met, we did the animal chiropractic program together. He is a world class, he lifts really heavy things. You know those big, strongman. I did it.
Yeah.
Strongman. He's one of those guys. Anyway, he developed a fitness integration technique for athletes. And we sort of discussed, we talk a lot, or we used to talk a lot more. And what it came down to is I was seeing those torsions in riders and I was seeing the torsion in the horses. And it was aggravating me to the point that he said, all right, let's just sit down. And we're going to figure out a system of very specific analysis that I can do to assess every single joint in your body as a rider and the length and the functionality of every single muscle in your body. So you know better than I do that the iliac crest or the tuber sacrali is going to have, if it has like a rostrality or if it's starting to rotate forward, that QL or that paraspinal on that same side is going to be shorter.
Yep.
And so I want to know to either portray to you, hey, we need to lengthen that paraspinal on the right, but don't do it on the left as well. And as a chiropractor, if your quad on the left is 4 inches shorter, there's no way that you can lengthen your calf and create a nice long leg on that left side. Your right. Quad is always going to twist your pelvis. So if you go ahead.
No, sorry, for the listeners, basically you described the top area of the croup, basically, right? From point of hip to point of hip. Okay. Because that's very common area where everybody goes to try to fix something. And sometimes there's something missing and it's probably because they're not thinking of it in that way you've just described.
Yeah, and I mean, it's important and we get to be faster at our job when I can see that let's say your right calf is 2 inches shorter than your left one. I'm going to measure it and I'm going to address that every single time. And instead of saying stretch your calves, you don't want to stretch your calves. You want to stretch a calf because it's the shorter one.
Huh. Okay. Totally makes sense.
Yep. It doesn't make sense until you think about it though. Honestly, when I was working with Dr. Jerome, I was like, huh. And you think, come on, man, again, really?
Yeah, Yeah, it's not rocket science when you actually put it in a way that makes functional sense, when someone can like really figure it out for themselves. So have you, how has it been introducing to like your clients, your equine clients, this fit for equestrians?
It just seems like common sense. Mm-hmm. It's part of everything I do. I mean, if I have a suspicion, I can't make it up. I think the worst thing any doctor, any healthcare provider can do is assume they know what's wrong. Oh, you ride. I know what's wrong with you. Come on. And you can't, it's a waste of time for me. Right. Let's just find out. Let's just put you on the calf master. Let's just see where your balance is. I have been wrong more times than I can count. And I am so thankful. I'm dead wrong. And it sends me in the right way, as opposed to, yeah, no, this is what I think. This is what I think. This is what I think. Who am I to know? Right. Let's just find out.
Okay. So what is your percentage of clientele as far as, you know, you work on riders and, you know, how many of that is you work on their horses as well?
The riders that I treat, I would say I'm adjusting, it's tough, I guess 60% maybe right now.
Okay.
And then there's like little tiny pockets. In some barns, it's 100%.
Okay.
But it's hit or miss. And sometimes people trust me more with their horses than they do themselves. And sometimes they trust me with their kids more than they do themselves. Most parents do that, which I think is adorable.
That's awesome. So you get a really, really solid overall understanding of horse and rider together. That's really cool.
Yeah. And I think talking to the coaches helps exorbitantly as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, it's a team effort. I mean, I can't do it without you or everybody involved.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So a really fascinating thing that I, you know, found out again about you is that you had or have, I don't know how you would put that, a degenerative hip disease growing up.
I have it. Can you get back? I have. So the same degenerative, it's called hip dysplasia, that German shepherds and labs traditionally get, and apparently chiropractors. I was diagnosed when I was 6 and have it in both of my hips. So my right leg is 7 millimeters shorter than my left one. Right at the femoral head. So my femur should be round and it basically looks like that. It's very flat,
right,
and uncomfortable and antagonistic.
Right. So can you talk about dealing with that while maintaining an active interest in equestrian sports?
So my medical doctors and my chiropractors and my physical therapists and my massage therapists all said, don't ride. And I said, well, that would be like, don't breathe. So I'm not going to do that. So that just basically meant learning how to take really good care of myself from the time I was very, very young. I spent, I guess, from the age of 7, 8, 9, 10, and around there, maybe 6 years old, 7, 8, 9. That sounds about better. I was on crutches. So I wasn't allowed to walk. They said I wasn't allowed to be weight bearing. And I decided that being on a horse wasn't being weight bearing. I was sitting on my bum. Wow. So that should be just fine.
Right.
So I rode anyway and just got adjusted, a lot of acupuncture, a lot of good nutrition, and took care of myself as if, well, now I see like 60, 70-year-olds with hips that look like mine. So I have a better idea of how they actually feel.
Right.
If that's fair.
Yeah. So, I mean, were the people around you saying, all right, come on, Kendra, like, let's be realistic about this. You shouldn't be doing that. Like, and how did you come through that on the other side, because yes, there's something that could totally affect you as you grew up and got older, but it's something like you said, it's like not being able to breathe if you're not able to interact with the horse. So how did you get around this?
I did it anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
There was no choice. My mom knew there was no choice, and I wouldn't go to summer school unless I could ride. I wouldn't accept gifts until I could ride. I said, I don't want Christmas presents. I don't want birthday presents. I just want to ride.
Aww.
So there was a small problem there that they were very unaware of my stubbornness.
Stubborn, tenacious, however you want to put it. But yeah. Now,
pain in the ass.
Now, was riding in your DNA prior to you falling in love with it? Or is this something totally out of the blue for your family?
I mean, my favorite horse story is my grandpa picking my grandma up in a horse and buggy, and his horse Ginger wouldn't stop. So he couldn't get off and help my grandma into the cart. She basically had to just run and jump while the horse was running away. So maybe it started there. I have no idea, but no, I've been riding since I was, two.
Awesome.
If I could get on a horse, that's all I needed.
Awesome. So do you experience any kind of pain or discomfort, or does the self-care that you're doing for yourself all the time, does that help maintain where you're at?
Both. So I have an 80-20 rule or a 90-10 rule, right, with my patients. And nutritionally, so if we're talking about, like, do you want to move better, do you want to think better, or do you want to eat better? I try to do 80-20, 90-10. And where I lack is maybe in nutrition sometimes. And I know the foods that inflame the arthritic condition that I try and stay away from. I don't always succeed. So I deal with it. It's fine with me. So that's a nice balance. But then, yes, I mean, when I'm on a horse, I don't feel any pain, but don't watch me get off. It's not pretty. I mean, I have to get off on the wrong side of my pony, and I need to, because I can't swing my leg the other way. So I get off on the other side or the right side, and then I just have to lift my leg and I'm good to go. I don't notice it, but it could be potentially embarrassing.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do, right? Exactly. So you are very dedicated to the idea that life can be better, as evidence that you have overcome your hip issues and dealing with them and still ride, and also choosing a career aimed at helping others feel better and assisting them to reach their goals. So does that mean that your outlook is more one of determination or optimism?
Well, let's change determinated to determined, not determinated. I don't think that's even a word.
Oh, I said determination or optimism.
Oh, I know. And then I just changed it to determinated. It's been a long day, so I like to make up my own words. No, I'm certainly stubborn, but I'm wildly optimistic. My mom said, you can do anything. And I 100% believed her. So it's both. I mean, I'm just a pain in the ass, and I'm not going to not ride. But also I have to preface this, the degenerative hip disease, they said, like, I'm 42. They said I would have 11 hip replacements by now. So they were going to put me in a full body cast when I was little, for a year minimum. And my mom was like, no. And I said, I can't ride a horse like that. And so that contextualizes what could have happened and what didn't, because of chiropractic care and because of the ability, the learned behavior that I did to take care of myself. And I learned, I didn't make it up. I learned it from other chiropractors, and I learned it from other massage therapists and physical therapists and MDs. I went to Shriners Hospital. I mean, I've been very fortunate in what I've had access to. And so that is what I like to share with other people as well. So it is optimistic, and I hope it's based in reality.
Yeah. Wow. It's just, you know, your description of everything right there just kind of made me go, wow, you could have just accepted where you were. You could have listened to your parents who, you know, and the rest of your family, like, look, you've got to be careful. And you followed your heart. And, you know, instead of curling up and not following your heart, you decided to push through and go after that. That's amazing. Obviously for horse people, horses are a large part of our lives. But if we happen to have interests outside of that, would you say that these personality traits of yours kind of filter into that area as well? Like other areas?
Oh, like how stubborn I am has gotten me where I am in my career. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like chiropractic school isn't easy, and going to school double time to get my animal chiropractic at the same time isn't easy. But that's not a choice. It's sort of like only riders understand that if you jump, going over that jump isn't a choice. You're determined to do it. And succeeding in a canter walk is going to happen. It's no rider in the history, as far as I'm concerned, has ever said, oh, nope, not doing it. There's just no way. That's just not happening.
Right.
And so I don't know, you're either born like that or you're not, maybe. But I know, well, maybe I don't know, but I think I've seen little kids develop that.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to help them through the rest of their life. I mean, just the altruistic behavior of taking care of something outside of yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like what little girl doesn't feed their horse before they eat breakfast?
That's right.
You just do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then as an adult, you learn how to carry your coffee and feed the horses at the same time.
Yes. It's multitasking. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been doing the massage therapy for 23 years. And back when I've shared on previous podcasts that I took that course that everybody said, you can't make a living out of doing that. What are you doing? Like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, watch me. Right. That's where you just say, hey, and that determination and that grit comes into play. And you just, yeah, you make it work. Yeah. Cool. Has your approach to your riding changed with experience, with your knowledge base? Have you changed the emphasis you've put on different aspects of riding, and why?
And absolutely. So I started as a hunter, and I was trained at Clearview Stables in Guelph by Emily Claremont, and she basically said, let the pony do the job. And so I would just sit there, which was, that's lovely when you're on a lovely pony, and which I was very fortunate to ride some really adorable ones. But as my riding style matured, I thought that, I remember one specific instance, I was trying to get my pony on the bit, and I was riding and pulling and kicking and riding and pulling, and this very wise lady stopped me, and she said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm doing what I think I'm supposed to do. And she said, well, have you ever thought that this is a conversation between you and your horse? And what you ask, they might not understand or be able to do. And I thought, holy shit, no. Now, then I just felt like a jerk. And I was like, what? And she said, when you ask a question, give the horse time to think about it and then say thank you. And not necessarily like, don't throw your reins away and say thanks, because I did that for a while. But just give them a little scratch on the neck and say thanks, bud, or relax your seat or do something. And that changed and developed and developed. And now I try and do as little as possible to have that great conversation with my horse. And I try my very best to use my body mechanics to do that. So like Maya pointed out the other day, that I'm not sitting enough on my right ischial tuberosity to support my pony in a left lead canter. And that's her hard side, that's her weak side. And so to use my biomechanics logically for less is more, that's what I'm trying right now. Whether I'm successful or not, I have no idea, but that's my effort.
So, hey, you get A for effort, right? As long as the intention is there. So with your knowledge of the chiropractic though, like, and with your hips, like how do you as a rider then adjust to help you and your pony as well as get success in the saddle?
I mean, I do specific strength training. So with my fit for equestrians, I know that my right quad is shorter. So I have to make sure that I foam roll that and lengthen that. I have to know that my rib cage, because I am over my table all the time, my patients are generally on the right, and you probably do the same thing. You have a preferred way or a dominant hand. I have a dominant rotation in my thoracic spine or my upper body. And so I have to unwind that at the end of the day or before I get on a horse. So I have to untorque myself and turn my rib cage to the left in order for me to have that flexibility and that pliability. So I do those two things. That's pretty much all I do. I mean, I get adjusted once a week.
Okay.
I have to keep my body moving.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so getting to know you again, I love this story. I love this story. And I'm sure the listeners are going to go, man. So you have a very unique and special story with one equine partner, a 13 three-hand pony named Juliet, who was a kill pen pony when you found her. Can you share with us a bit of that journey and how you two became the unexpected dynamic duo?
So my coach in Arkansas made me take her. I didn't want her at all. No offense, Juliet, but I am not very big, and I have been forced to ride ponies my entire life. And I didn't want to do that anymore. I wanted to have the 17-1 warm blood that you can take one gallop stride for an hour and read a book on top of. I didn't want another pony. And my coach said, you have to. And the lady who owned her was really wanted to develop a nice relationship with the pony and have this bond. And Juliet doesn't bond. She accepts relationships. I think she loves me now, and I think we have a good relationship, but it is strictly based on mutual respect. In my humble opinion, I can do anything with that pony. We have jumped over what's beginner, novice, close to training level eventing fences in Florida, in Ocala. And if I point her at it, she goes, okay, you said so. She will do her damnedest. She's little, and she will rock it over things backward if she needs to. So her work ethic is stellar. And I think if you respect that, you can win her no matter what. But I digress. My coach said, you just come and ride her. And I said, I really don't want to. And the owner begged me and said, please just train her and sell her for me. She needs not this home. She needs to find a better home. You go do it. And the second I sat on her, I was like, oh my God, she's adorable. And then I was trying to deny that the entire ride. She jumped everything. She's lovely, lovely little thing to ride and very, very easy. But she has her quirks. I think it took like 7 or 11 people to catch her one day. I used to have 18 acres and I couldn't catch her for hours on end. And I'm like, you shit. But now the farm that she's at now, they're like, we can't catch her. You have to come bring her in. And she'll buck and we were getting ready for regionals in Houston in 2018, I think. And she has her toes all pretty. And I had everything on, my whip under my arm, my helmet done up, my white gloves in my hand. And I tightened the girth just to like one hole. And she bucked and bucked and bucked in the stall with her bridle and reins flying everywhere. And I thought, holy shit, I'm not getting on that thing. And she goes, no, it's fine. I'm done. Walked out of the ring and we won first level championship. Like it was no big deal.
Right. Okay. She was just making a pregame statement about something.
Yes.
Yeah.
But who knows? She's a weirdo and I wouldn't.
Sorry, how old is she?
5, 10.
10, okay. So when you were describing Juliet, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but her attitude and your attitude kind of sound similar. Is that?
Damn it.
It's like you two were meant to be together, and that's why. So excited to talk to you and learn about this. And I just have such a soft spot for those kind of stories, especially the resilience that little Juliet has shown and you have shown, and for you two to come together and do that. That's just amazing. Yeah.
She is cool. And I have to say she was put back twice in the kill pen. So two trainers that I know from Arkansas, one bought her from like the Facebook kill pen thing and put her on the horse trailer and said, nope, and put her back. And then another one did the same thing. So there was some, it just, that if horses had the circular thinking, it would be terrible to be like, oh, what?
Yeah. Get me out of here. Wow. Jeez. Yeah. What has the desire to be an equestrian athlete taught you?
You're never right. And you're never as smart as you were the day before. Hmm. And you don't know what you did the day before. You sit on the horse that you sit on. I mean, Juliet bucked me off 3 times in the last month, just trying to get on. She's like, no, and I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. And we just go back and you have to be patient and you can't be, I'm a second level rider. Like, really? Just put your ego, leave it at home and just be humble with what you have that day. Mm-hmm. And especially as a chiropractor, like my thoroughbred, she has been coming along. She just turned 5. She's doing really well. And then she shows up lame. And instead of freaking out about it and being disappointed and all but hurt about it, and taking it, sometimes we take it personally, like you had a bad ride. It's not personal. It's nature. Mm-hmm. It's a whole animal and you are a human and it could have been your fault.
Right.
You know, just too tight that day or really just not working. Anyway, I gave my thoroughbred some time. I didn't take it personally. She got a couple extra days out in the field and she's rocking and rolling. Of course I adjusted her and did some cold laser and stuff with her, but
yeah,
just stay humble and take a deep breath.
Yeah. They always teach us something and we just have to be open to that. And like you said, put the ego aside because otherwise you know, you won't be aware enough. You're going to be so in your own head that when those lessons come to you to make you a better person, make you a better rider, have a better relationship with your horse, it's going to just completely fly over your head. Yeah. So tell me about this little thoroughbred, because, okay, I think the name is adorable. Curvature. Of course, she's a chiropractor's
horse. Crooked legs. Yeah. Of course.
So how did you find her?
You point out some really ironic, obvious things that I've never thought of. she was my sister's thoroughbred racehorse in California. Okay. And she was born in Florida, actually just right around the corner from where I brought Juliet in Ocala. But she trained down to be a racehorse in California with my sister. And she just bore a little hole in my sister's heart. And Julie sent me these two horses to send to my coach to just be retrained. And she said, just take an extra look at Kirby. She's adorable and she's sweet. And she was two and her lip hangs down when you trot now. And she gets nice and round, her teeth clank together because she just couldn't be bothered to hold her mouth closed. She's as easygoing as they come.
Nice. And what are your plans with her?
Whatever she wants to do.
Okay.
I think she'll be a nice little hunter. She's really paced. She's quiet. She's unbalanced right now. But then I took her over some trotting pools and she acted like she was being like the biggest electric pee off I've ever seen in my life, like allergic to the ground she was walking on.
Oh, that's funny.
So I don't, who knows?
Yeah.
Whatever she wants.
And that's the way you should do it, right? I think more often we should listen to them and go, okay, do you want this job? If you don't want this job, I'm not going to fight you and make you do it. I can't tell you how many horses I've worked on over the years where that horse rider combination would not be the mates you would put together, right? If you were on a dating site, because it's just, yeah.
It's just, you should invent that. Yeah. A dating site for horses and riders.
Matchmaking.
I like this. I don't like that. We'll put all the chestnuts together.
Oh, there you go. We could go with that.
Tell anybody.
Yeah. One of the things that I love about talking to horse people in the horse world, and especially people who work in the industry, because so many people struggle to find a job or a vocation that they are happy with, let alone their life's purpose. And I can truly say that with the massage therapy, I am living my life's purpose. It's a life of service for me. And with the life coaching, with Equestrian Elements Life Coaching, I am just loving it. So everything I'm doing is just filling my soul. What has this particular pathway to your purpose taught you so far?
I have no idea. I think I'm still learning it. I really have no idea. I don't ever feel like I've been much of a different person. I don't know. That's a really hard question.
Sorry.
I know. I even read it.
Is it perhaps that the way you said that a few words ago, maybe you haven't thought about it because it is such a perfect fit for you? It's not like you've had to sit down and go, geez, Kendra, are you happy? Are you doing what you're meant to be doing, right? It's just happened?
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. Yes. Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. But I'm expensive. Horses are expensive. I mean, I'm expensive because I have two horses and I have two dogs and I like food. So... like, not just for nutrition, but actually just like food. I want to eat all the time. That gets pricey. But it's not to say that you can probably attest to this. You can't just I think you examine that every day. Like, it's some Stoic philosopher that says a life that goes unexamined is, like, what's the point?
Right.
You have to examine it, and I do that on a daily basis. Am I living towards what I believe in? Am I doing every little thing I can on a daily basis to be better than I was yesterday, or to fulfill that element in my life that pushes me forward? I mean, yes, I'll do anything for horses, but I don't want to just go pet them. I want to learn more to help them. I want to be a better rider to help them. I want to be able to, like, right now I'm trying to be more, I'm working on my effective communication skills. Hmm. So I'm buying my words. I'm trying to use better words and to help other people, like, right? Because I have had so many people help me in so many different ways. Like my very first coach, Linda Ward, she made me trust the horse I was on. And I would argue, I don't want to. Why? I'm going over a big, huge fence. I'm smarter than this horse. Really? Mm-hmm. You don't think they know where to put their feet? Mm-hmm. Every single time? They're the idiot going over the jump with you. Mm-hmm. They probably have some self-preservation. And so just sit there and trust them and let them do their job.
Yeah.
And so now I try and do that as much as possible.
Yep. Well, that journey.
I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that, you know, like we talked about, you know, you haven't really thought about whether or not you're living your life's purpose, but obviously, like you said, you push to learn more about yourself every day. And what I like to do with this podcast and with Equestrian Elements Life Coaching with my clients is to help them understand that, you know, sure, you may be focused on such and such in the ring, but there's other elements to your life that also play a role on that. And, you know, everybody needs to grow. Everybody needs to push themselves. The very interesting part of that is it's not comfortable. It's not easy. And quite honestly, a lot of people just don't know where to start. Right. So do you feel like you are somebody who can kind of suss that out fairly easily for yourself? You seem to be a very self-aware person.
I don't know, but I do it anyway. I think, like, maybe I've read too many Lululemon bags, but it says do one thing every day that scares you. And I'm like, all right, it scares the shit out of me. Let's do that. But I also, I don't know if you just try,
yeah,
and see what happens. I'm not attached. I remember one night my brothers and I were sitting around maybe drinking too much, and someone said, well, we were younger, so that allows me some leniency, right? Because I would never sit around and drink too much tequila now. Anyway, my older brother said expectations are premeditated disappointments. And we just became like three philosophers, and we're like, really? Hey, ladies, stop, please. We became three philosophers and just decided that is the most valuable thing you could ever decide to believe.
Can you say that again?
Or to see. Expectations are premeditated disappointments.
Okay, interesting.
And so if I expect to be the absolute best second level pony in the ring, it's just unfair to start with. I want to do the very best that I can on that particular day, in that particular moment. And that sort of seems like, to me, sometimes it sounds like I'm just trying to be cheap. Like, oh yeah, well, you're just letting yourself get away with it. And if you really digest that, I am putting 100%. Sometimes I just feel like I'm going to squeeze myself right out of the saddle. Mm-hmm. I'm trying so hard. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, if you can take a deep breath and enjoy that time, like Maya said something about, like, use your corners, but it's use your corners to take a deep breath. It's use your corners to think about the next thing that you're going to do, and use those times to set up. A shoulder in isn't a shoulder in because you're left leg, right rein, left leg, right rein. It's just set it up and let it go.
Yeah.
And on the show day, for sure, you either got it or you don't.
Yeah.
So just forget it.
And all of that is completely linked to the humility.
Of course.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
Yes.
I've worked all of February on this, and I have my new whip, and shit, this saddle pad was really expensive, and there's just so many things. Who cares? None of it matters.
Yep. Keep it simple.
None of it.
Keep the focus. Enjoy. Gosh, have fun.
And it can be as miserable or as enjoyable as you want it to. And like, sometimes I think it sucks and it's hard and I don't want to, and I do it anyway. And then that's the true joy in it. Going, oh God, that really did suck for just a sec. It wasn't that bad. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize the next time.
Yep.
Hopefully.
Well, yes, hopefully. Hopefully you've learned.
Slow learner.
A lot of us horse people are. Kendra, this has been so much fun. As we're sort of tying things up here, is there any other, I don't know, advice or for riders out there with horses that might need some of your service? What can you share with them?
Eventually, when things get a little bit back to more normal, I'm happy to come to Barnes and just assess everybody and their horse for free and or, you know, donation.
Yep.
Or food, because yeah. I'm not allergic to anything.
Yeah.
I like everything. coffee black.
Okay.
We'll work for food.
Okay.
But truthfully, we all know what we need. Everybody, if we just sit and listen and pay attention. So best worst case scenario, go for a trail ride on your horse and just let them walk. And let your pelvis move with their pelvis, and your head is actually moving. Put your hair in a ponytail if you can. Feel your ponytail move. Just move with your horse and you'll feel where the restrictions are or where there's lack of freedom, and enjoy the process. And if it finds you at the chiropractor or it doesn't, just enjoy the process and do your best.
Yeah. Everybody should go out on more hacks, right?
Yes. The turkeys. Do you guys know there's so many freaking turkeys here?
Yes.
Those.
I know. They've
those
really.
Turkeys will jump out at you.
Oh my goodness. Yes. They've seemed to really grow in numbers over the last, I don't know, 5-10 years or whatever it is. But yeah, they're crazy. They're just waiting for people to jump out of the bushes at.
I was talking away to Juliet, telling her all kinds of things, toodaloo-daloo, and a ginormous turkey just goes like, oh, la, 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 across. I'm like, no way. Did that just happen? Sorry.
We'll bleep that out.
Flirking. No flirking way.
Turkeys. Oh my goodness. This has been an absolute joy. This has been so much fun. I hope we cross paths with each other at a barn one day. That should be good. So how can people get a hold of you? We can put your contact information in the show notes. Where can people can reach Dr. Kendra?
I mean, you can call me on my cell phone.
Okay.
You can put that in there. That's fine. Call or text. Yeah, that's probably the easiest way, or email at thechiropractor109@gmail.com.
Okay, that sounds easy. Great. Well, thank you so much. This has been a blast.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
No problem. Take care.
Okay, be good.
So there you have it. For future episodes, I have some amazing interviews lined up. hoping to open and engage the horse world on issues and topics of interest in and out of the show ring. So, until next time, keep your eyes forward and continue to hit your stride. You can subscribe to the podcast for new episodes of Hitting Your Stride on my website or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. You can check me out on Facebook and Instagram, and feel free to share whatever you've heard here with your friends. For that, I would be very grateful.